Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at the Lord's Supper, Meditations for Disciples. Today, Lesson 9, the Lord's Supper and the Great Banquet. Let me read several passages, Matthew 26:29, and it's parallel in Mark. So I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom. From Luke 22:16-18, when the hour came, Jesus and apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then from 1 Corinthians 11:26, For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Our Father, as we consider the Lord's table, we ask you to teach us about the great banquet. Lord, turn our hearts from ourselves and now to the future and you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In each of the Synoptic Gospels and in 1 Corinthians 11, the words of institution look forward to a fulfillment in the future. A key element in our own celebration of the Lord's Supper is future-looking as well. Let's explore this. An expectation of the great feast on the last day began perhaps with a wonderful prophecy from Isaiah, clearly eschatological, that is, speaking of the last days. Let me read from Isaiah 25:6-8. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. You'll find the echoes of this prophecy in the New Testament and the Old, finally being fulfilled in Revelation, with the marriage supper of the Lamb and the new heavens and the new earth. It's pretty clear from both the Bible and Jewish rabbinical literature that at least the Pharisees in Jesus' time had a strong expectation of this great feast after the resurrection. Let me read Luke 14:15, a comment by one of Jesus' dinner companions. Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. A rabbinical commentary on Exodus reads that Yahweh will recline at table the patriarchs and the righteous at his feet, and they will recline at table and eat in Gan Eden, or the Garden of Eden. Here's one from the pseudepigraphal book of Enoch. At the last coming, he will lead out Adam and the patriarchs and bring them into the paradise of Eden, that they may rejoice, as when a man invites his friends to eat with him, and they come and speak with one another before the palace, joyously awaiting his feast, the enjoyment of good things, of immeasurable wealth and joy and happiness and light and everlasting life. From the Old Testament Apocrypha. Rise and stand and see at the feast of the Lord the number of those who have been sealed. And then finally a midrash on Esther. The feast of our God, which he will prepare for the righteous, has no end. It was in this context that Jesus taught. He often alluded to the great feast in the kingdom of God, both in parables and in direct commands. For example, the parable of the great banquet. At a dinner to which Jesus was invited, he told his host to invite those who could not invite him back, that he would be rewarded, quote, at the resurrection of the righteous, end quote. One of the guests remarked, Blessed is the man who will eat the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus followed with the parable of the great banquet. This is found in Luke 14. The point of that parable was that the Jews, who had been invited to the banquet but made excuses, would be displaced by the Gentiles. Then, reward for the apostles in Luke 22, verses 29 to 30. And I will confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Then there are teachings on inclusion and exclusion. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Luke 13, 29 to 30, also Matthew 8, 11. The parable of the delayed householder from Luke 12, 37. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. The parable of the 10 virgins. This is Matthew 25:10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Jesus' teaching about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, Luke 16:22. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side, or Abraham's bosom. Being in Abraham's bosom pictures both a place of honor and a place of loving, intimate fellowship. And then gathering the elect. The elect are gathered at Christ's coming for this very feast, quote, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens, Mark 13:27, with a parallel in Matthew 24:31. Well, discussion question one, why are so many of Jesus' teachings oriented towards the future? What kinds of associations come to mind when you think of the great banquet? The book of Revelation also refers to the great banquet. There's a promise to overcomers in chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And then the book culminates with the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given for her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, Write, blessed are those who were invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9. Well, with this introduction, you can now appreciate Jesus' words on that last night from Matthew 26, 29. I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Luke 22:16. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Well, fulfillment is the Greek verb plereo, to make full. Here it could have one of two meanings. First, to bring to a designed end, fulfill of a prophecy or a promise, that kind of thing. Or, to bring to completion an activity in which one has been involved from its beginning, complete, finish. Indeed, the Lord's Supper is fulfilled at the great banquet. This gathering of the redeemed of the Lord in the presence of God on the last day is the culmination of and fulfillment of the incarnation, the cross, and the resurrection. Discussion question 2, Luke 22:16. In what sense does the Lord's Supper find its fulfillment in the great banquet at the end of the age? What should this do to our thoughts at the Lord's table? You know, I'm saddened by many Christians who, for one reason or another, no longer attend church. Maybe you. The church is flawed. They've been hurt in church. The church is filled with hypocrites and so forth. And all these things are too often true. But we are not to give up on Christian fellowship. As the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. For in our future is a seat at the great banquet with millions of other fellow believers. Isn't it ironic that we would separate ourselves now from those with whom we'll share in the feast and an eternity in heaven? The essence of a banquet and of the Lord's Supper is not food on which to gorge ourselves, but the joyful fellowship of those at the table. The Lord's Supper is our reminder that this life isn't as good as it gets. Just as the seal of the Holy Spirit is your guarantee of future glory, so the piece of bread and portion of wine you hold in your hands are a token of your ticket to the great banquet at the end of the age. The Lord's Supper looks backward as a remembrance to the death of Christ for our sins. It looks to the present as a communion with the living Christ. And it looks to the future as a promise of eternal life in the presence of God. Discussion question 3. In what sense does the Lord's Supper point to the past? How does it point to the present? How does it point to the future? As I think about that great banquet, I begin to look forward to it afresh, for it will be a time of entering into the joy of our Lord. The chorus of an old gospel hymn comes to mind. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. On that day, the promise of revelation will be realized. Jesus told His disciples that despite various appearances in one form or another, no one has seen God at any time. That is His essential spirit nature. But on that day, Revelation 22, 4 and 5 says, they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Jesus said, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Discussion question 4, based on Revelation 22:4. When you meditate on seeing His face, what thoughts come to mind? How should the Lord's Supper stimulate these thoughts every time we partake of it? Let's pray. Father, so often our minds are focused on our own needs and problems. Henceforth, may the Lord's Supper turn our eyes instead to the great banquet and the culmination of all things in You. Maranatha, come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.